I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Abobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Now, let me share with you my short sermon before we go. 10 reasons why people don't use their talents. 10 reasons why people do not use their talents in the house of the Lord. Amen. Now, Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14, or from verse 14, the Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called on his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." Straightway took his journey. Can you see that? Yeah. Right? Then, "He that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them." Verse 20. "And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And then his Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Now, verse 24, "Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath." Amen. Amen. "And cast ye," verse 30, "and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Amen. Amen. Now, if you start reading the story from the back, from this last verse, you can see that the fate of servants who are unprofitable is not good. Isn't it? Yes. That it's not enough to be a servant of the Lord. But you have servants of the Lord who are unprofitable. Do you see? Servants of the Lord who are unprofitable. What does it mean to be profitable? It means when we take what has been invested into you, you see, and we measure it against what is coming out of you, the net must be a gain. What do you think? Yes. So when the Lord takes what he has invested into you, and then he measures that against what he's getting out of you, he must feel, that's profit. That's the definition of profit. Profit is what you put in, isn't it? And or what you got out of it minus what you put in. And the remainder is your profit, isn't it? So an unprofitable servant is someone who is yielding less than what has been invested into him. Do you see? Yes. And all of us have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. It cost him his only son for us to be saved. Do you get it? So God is expecting some profit from us. And the servant who was unprofitable, he was cast into outer darkness. Do you get it? Well, I don't know where outer darkness is, but it doesn't sound like it's heaven. Or I hear some type of ghetto or some type of place, you know, near heaven or something like that. But it doesn't look like where Jesus is. Otherwise, people won't be weeping and they won't be gnashing their teeth there. So it's not a nice place. Amen. So I want to encourage us all to take the lesson from this story. Now, why don't people work or do their best for the Lord? Why do people hide their talents? Number one reason is fear, isn't it? Because in verse 25, this servant told us why he didn't do what he was supposed to do or what he could have done. Number one, he said that I was afraid. I was afraid. Can you see that? Fear is the number one reason why people don't use their talents. Why people don't get involved in the work of the Lord. Why people who can do things don't do it. It's because they are afraid. Hallelujah. Bishop talks about how when he set out to start this church, he was afraid that it was not going to work. And he talks about how somebody even suggested to him that they should go and start the church on the outskirts of town. Do you see? So that if the church does not work, it just dies there. You see, no one will ever know that you even try to start a church anywhere. You see, you just go to town or go out of town secretly to have the services. And then when it fails, you just come back home coolly. It's called what? Underground church. Underground, out of town type of church. Do you understand? And today, this church, the out of which we now have almost 4,000 churches. You see, this church was started by someone who was afraid. Amen. So if you are afraid to do something for God, you shouldn't be surprised. The devil attacks everyone whom God sends to do something. The devil attacks them with the spirit of fear. That's the first evil spirit that will visit you. The fear of not succeeding. Are you getting it? Yes. I was afraid when I was invited even to become a pastor. I was afraid. And it was for a similar reason that, you see, I felt that if you become a pastor, then now everybody's going to be looking at you. It means you are committed to living a certain kind of life. Do you see? And I was not sure that I could guarantee. Do you see? I could guarantee everyone that I will live this life and live it consistently. I was just afraid. Do you see? Yeah, I didn't trust myself. Are you following what I'm saying? So I remember I even suggested that, why don't you just give me a chance to do the work of God. Just don't call me pastor. Do you understand? So I can do the work, but I am not called a pastor. So in the day I fail, I never said I was a pastor anyway. Do you understand? I was trying to see if I can be an above average Christian instead of a below average pastor. Do you understand? If I can sit on top of the Christians instead of sitting at the bottom of the pastors, you see, then maybe that would be a little better. You see, so I was cleverly trying to work my way, you know, into that place because I was afraid. I was afraid. When I had to move from the UK to the US, I was afraid. I was totally afraid. Why? Because when I was in the UK, Bishop Richard was the pastor and he used to preach, you see, and then occasionally he would ask me to preach, you see. And those occasions when he would ask me to preach, man, I mean, the whole weekend, up to the time just before I preach, I used to carry my concordance. I had a green concordance. You know, when you speak to Bishop Richard, ask him about my concordance. It was a green concordance called Cruden's Concordance. A fat book like that. And I used to carry it all the way to church. And like while I'm sitting there waiting to preach, I'm still looking for verses. And I'm still checking things because I was never so sure. I was afraid. So now to go to a place to go and pastor a church where you will be the preacher every Sunday, that bothered me a lot. Do you see? And I felt that no. I will not be able to preach. And I was just thinking, preach? I mean, you stand up and you talk for like continuously for like 45 minutes to an hour. Do you see? What will I say? And when I finish saying it this week, what will I come back next week to say? You see, so if I survive this week, fine. But what about next week? And then the following week. And the following week. You see the thing. And people will be coming to church and they'll be expecting, you know. And I just thinking, no. It's not going to be possible. Do you see? Yeah. Now, so many years after that, you see, I look back and I can see what the enemy was trying to prevent. Do you understand? Just like the devil was trying to prevent the existence of 4,000 churches by putting fear in the prophet. Do you understand? He was also trying to prevent me from becoming who I am, also by putting fear in my heart. I tell you, when you are fighting an enemy, the first thing you do is to make the enemy fear you. Yes. That's why the boxers and so on. I think there's a boxing, something happening. Fury is fighting when? Oh, he won yesterday. Okay. All right. Yeah. But boxers like to put fear in the opponent. The worst ones are those wrestlers, I tell you. Boasting and bragging. I tell you, even the ones who will be beaten. Do you see? But before they come in, they start to shout, they start to yell at the opponent, I'm going to do this to you, I'm going to do this to you. Same thing. Goliath told David, he told David that, I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds. Hey! Meanwhile, you are the one going to win. And you are being told that your flesh will be fed to the birds. The devil is a master at laughing at the very things that are going to defeat him. Yeah, he mocks them. He was laughing at David's stones When David came and he had five smooth stones and a sling and so on, he said, what are you doing? I mean, what are you doing? Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks and this? I mean, what are you doing? You're not serious. This kind of talk is supposed to put fear in your heart and to make you afraid. And as long as you are afraid, you will never attempt to do the things you are supposed to do. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes? If you are afraid to start a group, what if nobody comes? What if nobody attends? What if nobody comes? Or if they come, what if they are not blessed? What if they are not happy with you, what you share with them or what you teach? And these kinds of fears keep us back. They keep us back all the time. If you read this book, you're going to find that nearly everything that is working in our church today, which Bishop has attempted, you know, began with some kind of fear. Do you get it? From the Crusades to writing books. Writing books, you often hear him talk about the books. See, today, look at them. So many books that have been written. You get it? The books we have published in this church are getting now to about 30 million. Yes, nearly 30 million books in print. Do you see? But when he first started to write books, he was just wondering, will anybody even read it? Do you see? Then the devil told him, you are proud. That's why you want to write. You want to write because you're proud. What is the devil telling you now? What are you afraid of? The things you are afraid of are the very things you must actually do. If you are afraid of it, it's probably a sign that there's some success in it waiting for you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There's something great in it waiting for you. If you are afraid of it, then it is the thing you must actually do. Hallelujah. It is the thing you must actually do. You must take it on and do it just because you are afraid of it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is how the devil keeps people from doing things. So this fellow, he went to hide his talents. He said, I was afraid and I hid myself. Do you understand? Tell somebody, this year, the spirit of fear will not overcome me. Hallelujah. Say, I'm not afraid anymore. Say it again. Say, I'm not afraid anymore. I will not live my life by fear. I am going to serve the Lord with all that I have. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, can you imagine if you're going to pray for the sick? What is the first thought that will occur to you? What if they don't get healed? If they don't get healed, what will happen? They'll remain sick. If you don't pray for them, what will happen? They'll remain sick. So do you realize that you can't make their situation worse by praying? Yeah. So I'm not afraid to pray for sick people these days because I realize I can't really make their situation worse. If I pray for them and they don't get healed, they will at least remain sick. Isn't it? Yeah. And if I don't pray for them, they will still be sick. So why don't I take a chance at praying for them in case they are healed? Do you understand? Yes. And many times you see that people are healed, even from your simple prayer. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. Now, the second reason, quickly, why people don't use their gift is that they hide their gifts. They hide their gifts which is, of course, flowing from the fear. When people are afraid, then they hide their gifts. Do you see? So many people conceal who they are and what they can do. Isn't it? Yeah. And no one knows what they can do because they have hidden it. You see, I remember one day somebody here who came to sing for us on her last day in church. Isn't it? Yes. And I kept wondering, what has kept this person throughout this time? Do you see? But if you go into it, you will see that there's some kind of fear somewhere. Do you understand? Fear of this, fear of that, maybe even some previous experience. And you see that that keeps people away. And it makes them hide their abilities. Amen. There are some of you who are hiding. Some of you who can do things but are hiding. What makes it even worse is that you criticize those who don't do it as well as you could have done it. Do you see? Yeah. You criticize those who don't do it as well as you could have done it. You could have done it better, and you won't do it. And when somebody's trying their hands at it, you are full of criticism, you are full of comments, you are full of so many different things. You know, you make different comments and you say so many different negative things about what the person is doing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Tell somebody, I think he's talking to you. Amen. Number three, a fault-finding attitude. A fault-finding attitude. This guy said, he called his master, he said, his master is a hard man. Do you see? His master is a hard man. He said his master reaps where he has not sown, and he gathers where he has not strawed. These are not nice things to say. It's not a good thing to say to someone that you reap where you have not sown. Do you see? But that's the sort of attitude that this person had. He criticized and he was finding faults. When you find faults with people, you can't become what they are. Do you understand? If you criticize greatness, you can't become great. One of the things we need to understand is that actually greatness or great people are great often because of their faults. What do I mean? If you walk from the junction to church, no one will say to you, well done. But if a blind man did it by himself and got here, he would have achieved something. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it is the fact that a blind man was able to walk from that place to this place by himself that makes what he did great. Do you see? So when a person is great, it is not because he has no faults, but he's great because of what he's been able to do in spite of his faults. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. So when you criticize a great person because of his faults, you are not saying, all it means is that you are looking at the wrong thing. Do you get it? Yes, because he actually needs those faults for the greatness to stand out. It is because Elisha, the Bible says, Elisha was a man of like passions as we are, and he prayed. Do you see? That it should not rain, and it did not rain. If Elijah was an angel who did that, you wouldn't be surprised. You wouldn't call it great. Are you getting the picture? Yes. You know the angels who came to visit Lot, and when they moved Lot out of the city, they caused fire to rain from heaven and burn the city, but nobody is sharing that as a testimony. Do you understand? Yeah, Yeah, nobody's sharing that as a testimony. Nobody. Angels, that's the sort of thing you expect angels to do. But when Elijah, he says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it should not rain by the space of 3 years and 6 months, and it didn't rain. That starts to get your attention, because he's just like us. So when you take a great person and you start to focus on them and you criticize them because of whatever fault you think they may have, you know, you are not saying anything strange. In fact, that's what makes them great. It's the fact that in spite of all those things, they are able to achieve what they have been able to achieve. That's what makes them great. So then it means that the faults that surround them, you get it, are part of the picture of greatness. Do you understand? It's just that you focused on the frame and you missed the picture. Yeah, you're like someone who's looking at this thing and you see the frame and you miss the photo. And because you miss the photo, you will not be great yourself. You will not be great because you do not celebrate greatness. You don't recognize greatness. You don't see greatness. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The world is in a habit of criticizing great people and people who are achieving something, people who are trying to do something. Honestly, the people who don't do anything are the ones who criticize the most. Yes, the ones who are taking things apart and ones who are not doing anything, they are the ones who have so much to say. They have so much to say about everything. Greatness is often set in weakness. It's set in infirmity. And that makes it stand out. That makes it great. So, wow, that's just an ordinary person. Sometimes you go to a place and you see someone preaching, or you see someone trying to share the word, and you are so impressed because of who they are, because you know them. You say, this is just an ordinary person. How is he able to pull all these things from the scriptures? Yeah. But if he had come to you as a priest, you know, Pope, and he has all these scriptures, you expect him to have those things. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So we must not have a fault-finding attitude. What do you think? We must not have a fault-finding attitude in the church. In our church, there are so many things we don't do. That's why this morning we're praying that God be merciful unto us and just bless us. Because we have so many things that we don't do right. We have so many things that are not like it should be. We have so many things that could be better, could be much better. But we are trying. Do you see? We are trying. As you can see, I'm sweating to preach. I'm trying. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Eunice, I'm trying to preach. Oh, I'm trying. Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah. So if you don't like my preaching, I'm not surprised, because I myself am trying. And so instead of picking what is working apart with criticism and criticizing and talking and talking and talking and talking, rather get on the job. Amen. If you think you can see something wrong with it, then maybe God has given you the grace to solve it. Do you understand? Yes. Most people who can see something wrong with something know how to fix it. Do you get it? Because you don't know what is wrong until you know what is right. So it is those who know what is right who often see what is wrong. So do it. Get on with it. Fix it. Improve it. Do it for us. Help us. What do you think? Yes, help us. Oh, I went to the church. You know, there were not people. They didn't come at all. Oh, great. Bring us more people. Do you understand? Yes, help us to have more souls in the church. That's what we need from you. I went to the church. They gave us lunch. The food was not nice at all. Maybe you haven't been here. We've been announcing. We need people to bring us food. So if you know what is nice food, please, next Sunday, help us out. Bring more. Are you understanding it? Yes, bring more and help us. Do you see? Yeah. And that is going to be a blessing for us. Hallelujah. It says that, but the faults you find will only become the reason for you to withhold your own abilities. Why even bother to look for faults in God's servant? God did not choose angels to work for him. He chose flaw-ridden men and women of varying backgrounds to do his work. You will always find something wrong when you look closely at God's servants. People even lose their chance to be saved because they find fault with Christians. Have you heard people say that, you know, Christians are hypocrites, because of that they won't go to church? Yes, and a lot of people are not saved because of that. By finding faults with other Christians, you lose out on your own chance of being saved. Hallelujah. So tell somebody, stop being a fault-finding Christian. If you put away fault-finding, you become a fruitful Christian. Well, I was just telling you that, but you can also tell that to someone. Hallelujah. Stop focusing on the faults of others and focus on what you can do for God. Can you imagine if someone decided to focus on your own faults as well? And if you look at anybody closely enough, you start to notice what is wrong. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. If you look closely at people, you start to notice what is not working. Amen. Then one more reason before we close. Number four, despising the type of gift that you have. Despising the type of gift that you have. And maybe number five, despising also the smallness of your gift. Do you see? What did the guy say? He says, the Bible says, then he which had received one talent, this is verse 24, he which had received one talent, he came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. That means here, you've got what belongs to you. Amen. Now, obviously, this guy was actually complaining. He was complaining that he had been given only one talent compared to others. That compared to the others, because the others had been given five and two, and he was given just one. So he felt that his talent was not anything, you know, important. It wasn't anything that could make a difference. And there are people in the church, they feel that whatever they can do or contribute will not make a difference. They feel that their talent is small, or their contribution is small, or that even what they can do itself, the church doesn't need it. But you'll be surprised that what you can do is exactly what we are missing. You will be surprised to find out that what you can contribute to this work here is exactly what we need. That's what we are missing. So do not despise your talent. Do not despise your contribution. Whatever you can do, you should come forward and say, look, this is what I can do. Is it of any use to the church? Some of you have hobbies that could be a blessing to the church. Some have gifts, some have talents. You have things you can do that can help us, that can be a blessing, but you are hiding them because you don't think such things are useful in a church. Do you see what I'm saying? But it's not for you to judge. That's not for you to determine. You bring the talent and allow us to say whether we could use this or not. And you'll find that more than likely we would use that gift and that talent. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Yes. And the smallness, as for smallness, God always starts things small. The kingdom of God is like that. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31, the Bible says the kingdom of heaven is like what? A grain of mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field. Then verse 32, it says, which indeed is the least of all seeds. Do you see? He says, this is how the kingdom of God is. Things start small. So if you despise something because it's small, you'll be making a mistake because you're going against the rules of the kingdom. And in the kingdom, things start small. Small, some small singing, some small preaching. Maybe you can share a little bit. It lasts for 5 minutes, but it's sharing. Do you understand? It's sharing. You can share a verse. You can read something. And when you read it, you don't know what to say after that. But at least you can read it. And after 5 minutes, it's over. But you find that that's exactly what is needed. Do you understand? There are some people who don't need a preacher who preaches for a long time like me. Some people don't need that. They don't need someone who will talk to them for a long time. They don't have the time. They are not used to it. They can't concentrate. They can't focus for a long time. So they need you. You who has the 5 minute sermon. Do you understand? Yes. And they are guaranteed to be blessed because exactly after 5 minutes, it will cut off. It will finish. There'll be nothing else to say. So your talent or your gift, even though it's just a 5 minute type of preaching gift, it's still very useful and can make a difference in the church and in somebody's life. Are you hearing what I'm sharing with you today? Yes. This year, nobody is being left out. Everybody is being involved. Whatever you can contribute is welcome. Hallelujah. Whether it's the type or the size, it's still welcome. It's small, but it's still good. Hallelujah. Because the master was upset with him. He didn't say to him, oh, okay, I understand. Yours was just one talent. Let's go on to the next person. No. No, he made a whole big case when the guy was thinking that, you know, I had only one talent and I hid it and I brought it back and thought he would be congratulated for being good at hiding the talent. What I'm good at is hiding talents. I'm humble. Yes. And to his surprise, the master made a whole big issue. In fact, from that point on, we don't hear anything about the others. The rest of the story is about this one person and his one talent. Took him on seriously. Yes, you have one talent. You know what you could have done with the one talent? Then he began to explain to him, you could have given it to the money exchangers and I would have come back and I would get interest and so on. Then he starts to talk to him, give him ideas, and he tells him after that, you know, you are an unprofitable servant. You should go be to the outer darkness. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hey, this one talent that I was just hiding. It looks like the ones who had more, it was a shorter conversation. So if you hide your one talent thinking the Lord is going to turn a blind eye on it and say, oh, it's so small, it's nothing, You'd be surprised. When God gives you something, he knows he's given it to you. And he's expecting you to do something with what he has given to you. It's not about perfection. It's not about how good it is. Actually, you are great that you are able to do all this in spite of all your setbacks. The fact that you are a student and you are still able to do this, that makes you great. The fact that you don't have so much time and you are able to do something, that makes you great. This church was started by a student. Wow. Huh? Yeah. Was started by a medical student who had so much to read and still started. He gave his one talent of time to starting the church. And look at what the church has become. Are you understanding? Look at what the church has become. Just one talent. This is what I can do. Do you see? So whether you're a student, whether you're single, maybe you live far away. You think you live far away. Far from what? And from where? You get it? Yeah. Some people just say, I live far away. Far away from where? Do you see? Because far is always relative. Do you understand? But where you live itself could be kind of an advantage. Maybe because you live far away, we can have a center in that place because you live there. We may have a whole lot of people being exposed to the word of God because you live there. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So there's no excuse. No one has any excuse to be excluded. Rather, those who downplay on the importance of their gift or the size of it are the ones who get into trouble. And the master raises a whole issue. Hey, he says, unprofitable servant. The master couldn't seem to handle the matter at all. He says, you are a useless servant. Unprofitable servant. He called him wicked. He said, slothful. Hey! That's the one who did nothing. So sometimes we think that the wicked person is the one who is doing something wrong. Do you see? Someone who is doing something, he's doing the wrong thing. He is the one who is wicked. But the master is saying that the wicked one is the one who is sitting there doing nothing. And he tells us the reasons. You see, another reason why people don't do anything is because they are lazy. Yeah, he says laziness. Yes. It pains you to leave your house and go somewhere. Yeah. If I join that group, I'm going to have to go for rehearsal. If I go, that means I have to go to church every Sunday. You get it? So I don't want to join anything. I don't want to get involved with anything because they'll be looking up to me. They'll be relying on me. You know, I like to sleep. On Sundays, I like to sleep. Hallelujah. Are you understanding the word of God?
Yes.
Right. So there are others, you should read it. Number five, despising the smallness of your gift. Number six, overestimating your abilities. Number seven, laziness. Number eight, not wanting to be cheated. Number nine, wickedness. You see, wickedness means you don't care. When people are wicked, they are insensitive. They don't care. A wicked person will be causing you pain and just be looking at you. Do you get it? Yeah, they don't care. They have no feelings. Do you see? When you are wicked in the church, you have no feelings. You come to church and you can see all the things we are struggling with. All our faults just pop up and you can just see them. But you don't care. You don't feel like doing anything about it. That's what makes you a wicked person. Not all wicked people carry knives. There are many knifeless wicked people. And gunless wicked people. Yeah. Tell somebody, I'm coming out of wickedness this afternoon. Say, I'm stepping out of wickedness. I am stepping out of wickedness this afternoon. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Okay. Are you blessed by the message? That's chapter 15 of Many Are Called. Amen. And I want you to get the book and read it. Next week we're going to go to something else. Amen. All right. Now lift up your hand and pray to the Lord and say, Lord, deliver me from being unprofitable. Deliver me, Lord. Deliver me from the unprofitable lifestyle. Deliver me. Take me out of that in the name of Jesus. Pray to the Lord, everybody. Just say, Lord, please deliver me. I don't want to be unprofitable. I want to be useful in your house in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for everyone here today that, Lord, you will make us profitable in your house in the name of Jesus, in your kingdom and as Christians in the name of Jesus. Please, Lord, we don't want to be like the unprofitable servant. We want to be people who are profitable. You paid a high price for us. You paid a high price for us. May our lives bring you glory. May you find usefulness in us in the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord. Every gift and every talent, every ability you have placed in us, Lord, we want to use it. We want to place it at your disposal. We want to make it available to you, Lord. Every gift, anything we can do, whether it is talking, singing, dancing, giving, whatever we are able to do, whatever you've blessed us to be able to do, Lord, we do not want to hide it. We want to make it available to you, that you will use it for your glory in the name of Jesus. And for the service of your kingdom and of your house, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Now, as we close the service this afternoon, I want to give you an opportunity. If you want to give your life to Jesus, you know in your heart that you are not saved, you are not born again. If you died today, you don't know if you go to heaven or if you go to hell. Today is a day of salvation. If you hear my voice today, harden not your heart. Because it's not my voice you're hearing, it's the Lord who is speaking to you. It is God who is calling you unto salvation. Whether you're here in this service or watching us online or listening to the podcast, it is the Lord speaking to you and God inviting you to himself. And so I want you to take this opportunity to be saved and say, Jesus, come into my heart. I acknowledge I'm a sinner. I realize I'm a sinner and you died for my sins. And I will not let that sacrifice go waste. So Jesus, please come into my heart. If you're here like that this afternoon, I want you to raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. You want to give your life to Jesus? Lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Is there anybody here like that? You want to give your life to Jesus? Or you want to rededicate your life to Jesus? I'm going to pray with you. Is there anyone here like that? In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we all just say this prayer together? Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. Join us to say it. Everybody say it together. Wherever you are, say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. Say, please come into my heart. Forgive my sins, Lord. Let your blood wash me. And let your blood cleanse me. Make me a child of God. Say thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, we want to come to the Lord's table right now. We want to have communion, you know. So, bring the communion round. Our lives have just
begun. In the Spirit, we are young. And we'll live forever. Sons of God, hear His holy word. Gather round the table of the Lord. Eat His body, drink His blood, and we'll sing a song.
Shout, shout
together to the Lord, who has promised our reward. Happiness 100-fold, and we'll live forever.
Sons of God, hear His holy word. Hallelujah. Now take with me this is the body of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The body of Jesus Christ was broken for us, and the Bible says by His stripes we are healed. Amen. Today, as you take communion, if you're sick anywhere in your body, I want you to trust God to heal you. Jesus is a healing Jesus. Jesus did not only die for your sins. Before He died, see, if God wanted Jesus to die for your sins only, you know, He could have arranged for Him to be shot or something like that. And He would die instantly and He would achieve the same thing. But the Bible says He was wounded for our transgressions and He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. Hallelujah. There's a reason why Jesus had to die a slow, painful death. The process was so that you can get a bonus healing for your body. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God wants you to be healed. No matter what the sickness or the disease is, Jesus is able to heal you. Hallelujah. So if you're sick this afternoon, I want you to believe God and say, Lord, you died for me, but you were wounded so that I can be healed. Do you understand? By your stripes, I am healed. And I claim my healing. Every kind of healing, no matter what type of sickness it is, today God is healing us. God is visiting us with a healing anointing and a healing grace. The power of God is here to heal people today. Whether it's a sickness in your head, in your abdomen, in your chest, in your leg, in your feet. Trust the Lord for healing. No matter what part of your body, your back, wherever the pain is, Jesus is touching you and Jesus is healing you right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. By your stripes, we are healed. And today, as we take communion, we take and celebrate this token of our healing in the name of Jesus. We thank you for blessing the bread and blessing the wine. In Jesus' name, amen. Just say the body of Jesus. You may eat the bread. Thank you, Jesus. Now take the wine and say the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. This is for cleansing, cleansing, cleansing. God is cleansing us from everything that defiles us in the name of Jesus. God is cleansing us from every mistake and anything that makes us imperfect as we stand here today in the name of Jesus. Say the blood of Jesus Christ and you drink it. Thank you, Jesus. Now lift up your hand for a blessing. Today God is going to heal us. Yes, as we look up to Him for healing. If you are sick anywhere in your body, I want you to place your hand there. If you can't place your hand there, just place your hand on your chest. And I'm going to pray for you in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes. Jesus the healer is here. Oh yes. Makatalabo shakafala babaha. Ikamolo seteli makondori balababaya. Father, we rebuke every sickness that has taken hold of any one of us or anyone watching us this afternoon in the name of Jesus. We rebuke sickness. We rebuke headaches. We rebuke backaches. We rebuke pain in the knee, in the joints, in the name of Jesus. Chest pain, Lord. Gynecological issues, Lord. We rebuke them in the name of Jesus. We speak to cancer. We speak, Lord, to complex conditions, undiagnosed conditions, conditions that cannot be explained in the name of Jesus. We speak to them all to bow and to yield to the power in the name of Jesus right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Bless, Lord. Eye problems, Lord. Knee problems, Lord. Yes, nose problems in the name of Jesus. We speak to them in the name of Jesus. We drive them out of our bodies. 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 Leave now in the name of Jesus. Leave now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing. Yes, Lord. Stomach issues. Stomach problems are leaving right now in the name of Jesus. We rebuke that demon, yes, attacking your stomach in the name of Jesus. Complex digestive issues and digestion problems in the name of Jesus. We speak to you and we command you also to leave God's people alone in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, you are a mighty healer. And we thank you, Jesus, for healing us, for driving sickness away from us. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke mental conditions, mental illness, depression. I speak to the spirit of heaviness and I command you to leave God's people right now. In the name of Jesus, leave God's people right now. I said, leave God's people right now. In the name of Jesus, let the spirit of heaviness be lifted off God's people right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that every form of madness and insanity that is attacking God's people is lifting off right now. It's lifting off right now. Depression is going right now. I said depression is going right now in the name of Jesus. in the name of Jesus. By the token of the blood, you are set free and released to serve God in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. Hallelujah. Amen. Check yourself. If you are sick and you were believing God for healing, check yourself right now. I believe God has touched you. God has touched you. Hallelujah. Amen. Is there anybody who can check yourself? You believe God has touched you? You come and tell us. Share your testimony. Alpak, what happened? What happened to you?
I had some indigestion last night.
Right.
And I remember we even had a prayer meeting in the evening and I was in so much pain, but I survived it. And when I came to church today, towards the end of the preaching, it was so bad, I wanted to go out. But as you were preaching, as you were praying for us, and you said the pain is being healed, I just felt the pain go, and now I feel fine. I don't feel like
going. Wow. That's Jesus right there. Anybody else? Give a clap offering to Jesus properly. Hallelujah. Anybody else who has been healed? Anybody who feels that something you are struggling with is gone? Okay. Check it, because I believe Jesus is healing us today. Amen. Jesus has healed you today. Are you coming to share a testimony? Come on, come say yes. Tell us. Here's a microphone for you. What happened to you?
Praise God.
Amen.
I've been having a flu and cough for the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yesterday, it came back like just fresh.
Wow.
So I came this morning when you asked us to stand up for prayers. I couldn't stand because I was feeling fever. I went out. I was limping. But when you asked us to check right now, I feel like the fever is gone.
Wow. Father, thank you for healing this fever. And we forbid you, spirit behind this, from coming back in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord properly. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. See, many, many big, big diseases start with very small conditions. And you don't know that something great is happening until the Lord. And you see, the other day I was just thinking that, you see, God doesn't have to allow us to experience the full-blown things. Do you get it? Even you may not have faith to believe he can heal you at that point. Do you understand? So when God heals you of something small, you should be grateful, because that small thing may be connected to something very big. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So believe in Jesus as a healer. Do you understand? He didn't only die for our sins. He also died. He was wounded also for our healing. Are you understanding it? It says, by his stripes, we are healed. We are healed by the stripes. All the flogging Jesus took was so that we can be healed. It was not part of it. Obviously, they were not beating him to kill him. They already knew how they were going to kill him. So the flogging was allowed by God so that we can be healed in our bodies. Amen. So believe it. Believe it. Amen. If the condition is still there, trust God. As you go home this afternoon, you will be healed by the time you get home, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.